Ara Rusulkanas.
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 Adava.
The sounds you're hearing are from a group of Georgian expatriates and their sympathizers protesting outside the Georgian embassy in Tallinn on the 8th of March. They have come together to demonstrate their opposition to a bill currently being passed through the Georgian parliament, which protesters have named the Russian Law. This protest is in solidarity with major protests rocking Georgia's capital, Tbilisi, this week for the same reason. Tens of thousands of protesters have been met by police, water cannons, tear gas, and more, as the country is torn between moves to the west and towards Russia. With the backdrop of the Ukraine war and Russia's ongoing occupation of Georgian territory, the stakes and tensions are high. Hello, I'm Terry McDonald, and this is the Tallinn University Podcast. Hello, and welcome back to the Tallinn University Podcast. I want to thank those of you who enjoyed our last episode with Prime Minister Kaja Kallas. With us today is Anano Iashvili. She is a graduate of Tallinn University with an MA in Law in Human Rights in a Digital Society here. She was one of the organizers of the protests here in Tallinn, and she will explain the context of these today. Okay, we're here today with Anano Iashvili. Anano is a graduate of Tallinn University, and she was one of the organizers of the protest. Welcome to the Tallinn University Podcast, Anano.
Hello, Terry, and hello, listeners. Thank you for inviting, and I'm really glad to be here.
So, if you could just start off at the beginning here. What are the reasons for these protests here and in Tbilisi?
Actually, that's a very deep question, and we have to go back a bit historically what was happening before. So the main reason why we had the protests is that Georgia doesn't want to be back to the USSR, to the Soviet Union, and we have been part of Soviet Union for around 90 years, and we never wanted to be part of the Soviet Union, but we were forced to. And actually, it's pretty ironical that it was this kind of movement that we were against going into the Soviet Union was also happening around 100 years ago. We had the same situation. We had the same thing, same protests going on in Georgia, but they all ended up by the repressions, by killing people, by deporting people. And now we are going through. So what is happening is that now, as the Soviet Union, thanks God, doesn't exist anymore, but we have a neighbor in the north, which is the Federation of Russia, which had pretty tense historical relations since the Soviet Union fell apart. And this then started basically since 89. It was actually 9th of March 89 when the Georgia decided that Georgia doesn't want to be part of the Soviet Union anymore. And then Russian tanks came inside Tbilisi and they killed many protesters, and the Georgian youth was outside. They killed many people. Then people were just standing in front of tanks. They were not afraid of anything, and there was blood everywhere. It was 9th of March 89, and after 2 years, on 9th of April 91, we finally gained the independence of Georgia. But 9th of April was the same thing. We had Russian tanks in Tbilisi. Through the blood, through the process, we gained the independence because Georgia loves independence. Georgia is a free country and people of Georgia are free. They want to be free. They don't want to be dependent on someone or something. And now, unfortunately, the Georgian government is dragging us back because Georgian government decided to have good relations with Russia while the Russia is the aggressor. Russia occupied two big territories of Georgia. More than 20% is right now occupied by Russia. The first one happened in 91-92 after Georgia declared independence, Russian forces started mobilization and destabilization in Abkhazia. We had civil war, but it was, I would like to say, very common and very like to the Ukraine. What is happening in the Ukraine right now, we had absolutely the same situation. We had the same genocide. Many people were killed. And in the end, we lost the territories to Russian Federation. And then Russia did so-called referendum and declared, as Russia usually does, like we have seen it many times in many countries already. And after that, in 2008, we also had the war with Russia, where we lost also not South Ossetia, actually, but it's called Samochab. And it is Georgian territory as well. And after that, we had the change in the government in 2012 because there were some tense political situations in Georgia. And previously, when we had the war in 2008, we had the party of National Movement of Georgia, and the head was Mikhail Saakashvili. And there were protests already protesting the regime of Saakashvili because there were not some quite good things going on in the country as well, and we had a change of government. So yes, basically what happened was that some video materials leaked from the prisons in 2012, where there was the proof, or at least it was seen on the video, that there is the proof that the prisoners in Georgia are under the violence by the regime. And they have been raped in the prisons, and a lot of violence has been established also in the reports towards them. And that's why Georgian people once again came outside to protest. We had the revolution, not as big as in 2003, but we still had the revolution, and we had the change of government. And then in 2012, Georgian Dream, which is actually also the government right now, they came into the power. We were thinking, and they promised us that they would lead us finally to the path that we were going through all these years after we gained the independence, which was the path to European Union, to live in the Europe, to become part of Europe because we belong there, we have the values, we share the same values as Europe, and we are doing everything to be finally on our way towards that direction at least. And we were giving the promises, but all the things that the Georgian government was doing all along was the steps backwards. Steps backwards and steps backwards. We had small protests all along, protesting something and every little step. But unfortunately, there was not enough unity all this time. And not many people were coming outside to say that this is not okay. We are seeing Georgia in a different direction, and the government is leading us in a different one. And the most tense relations with Georgian government and the people of Georgia started after the war in the Ukraine, the aggression of Russia in Ukraine that started in 2021, a year ago and a month ago. And Georgian government, instead of actually supporting Ukraine in that case, what Georgian government did, they said that the sanctions don't matter and they will not do anything to support Ukraine. And the only thing, it's actually a bit, it's not a funny situation, but it's ironical that the Georgian government said that the sanction they will establish to Russia is they're not going to sell the apples in the Russia anymore, which sounds very absurd, you know, after all these things that Ukraine is still going on today. Kiev was bombed again and Georgian government is not doing anything. However, Georgia had to be number one country in the world supporting and screaming for the Ukraine because we have gone through the same situation two times already. We know very well how it is to be the neighbor of the Russia. And right now we are still fighting with our pro-Russian government. This fact also about the Georgian government that I'm sure not many people know is that the party was established by the oligarch that owns a very big percentage in the Gazprom, which is the Russian gas company. So the influence is pretty high. He even declared that he is not officially part of the party anymore, but it's pretty obvious that he's still managing the party, and that's why the Georgian government is leaning into the pro-Russian direction a lot.
Okay, well, thank you for painting the context. So we've heard a lot about this at your protest. They were calling it the Russian law. Can you explain what this law is that has been flagged?
Yes, the situation about this law, about Russian law, that's the copy-paste of the Russian law, started around 2 weeks ago when not the Georgian Dream, but the friend party of the Georgian Dream, which is called People's Power, which sounds also very ironical because there is nothing about people power there. They proposed two kinds of law and they said that's American law. And the first law is actually about the non-governmental organizations and about the media that is financed at least 20% by the foreign, not Russian, but the European Union or American organizations or etc., government and etc. And they wanted to make the database to insert all the names of the organizations in media in the database and to control their personal data, to control their overturn during the year, to control their finances, what they're doing, where they're getting money from, where this money is going to, all the names, people involved. And the second law they also claim to be American law is about already private persons. So the first law is about that has been passed actually already, is about the legal persons, and the second law is about the private persons. So the second law actually involves people who have been actually getting education abroad and getting any kind of grant or finances from the government, for example, foreign country or the foreign organization or European Union and etc. Even if there is one Georgian that has ever once in a lifetime participated in only one training that has been funded by European Union, it's already the candidate to become the foreign agent. And they also call this law foreign agent law. So basically, they want to label people. They said that that's not the aim, but it seems to be that they want to label people who have any kind of relations with the outside world to be the spies or something close by to the spies. And that goes against the constitution of Georgia.
Can you make the connection of why they're calling it the Russian?
Because in some years ago, Putin also had this kind of discussion first, and there were protests, but unfortunately this protest did not succeed, and they passed absolutely the same bill as right now is in discussion and partly passed in Georgia as well. So it's basically the copy-paste of the Russian law. It was also against the NGOs, and we don't see any NGOs right now working or criticizing Russian government right now in Russian Federation. And also we see that media that is functioning in Russia is also under the total control of the Russian government. So they got rid of any but any kind of reason to be afraid that somebody might be against the government. So they're trying to get rid of all these NGOs, they're trying to get rid of all the media, and they're also trying to get rid of the people who are educated, who have been around, who have seen the world, and who know what is their right. They don't like to have people who know what's their rights and what's their freedom.
So you're seeing this, the protesters are seeing this as a step towards authoritarianism?
Of course.
Okay, so can you tell us what's been the government reaction to these protests? I mean, we've seen
Start first what happened and how the protest started. So the discussion started around 2 weeks ago, and of course Georgian people were very against of both of the laws because there is nothing democratic about these laws. Second of all, it goes strictly against the constitution because in Georgian constitution, I don't think that many countries actually have it, but we have the Article 78, which states that any law, any bill, any resolution that goes against the wheels of European Union or the path of European Union or NATO and is the obstacle for Georgia to become part of European Union or NATO is passed by the parliament, that should be declared annulled. And then the Georgian parliament is trying to ignore this article that is written just directly in the Constitution. Second of all, if we even didn't had this article in the Constitution, there is lack of legitimacy of this law because it infringes a lot of human rights that are declared in the Constitution of Georgia and in the international law. And people started protesting against that, and Georgian government declared that actually today there had to be the first hearing to discuss both of the laws and to decide whether they will proceed to the next hearing or not. But few days ago, and basically 2 days ago, in the evening, Parliament had the gathering and they didn't tell anyone. They had the first hearing, they passed the law, 76 people voted yes, that is the majority of the parliament, and the first bill against the NGOs and media has been passed. So right now it is passed. The second bill had to be actually on the hearing today, but we are waiting so far for the news or for the updates, what's going to be with the private persons. For example, people who have been educated abroad. For example, me, myself, I'm also a former student of Tallinn University, and I'm very thankful for that. And I also got the grant from the government of Estonia for the HIMARS, and I got the finances to study free in Estonia, and very thankful for that. But that might become the reason for me to become declared in Georgia as the foreign agent, which sounds very absurd.
So anyone who's received a scholarship or anything like this?
Yes. So it concerns all the Georgians who have had a scholarship, who had got any grant, any finances. It doesn't matter if you got any finances from foreign organizations, European Union, etc. Then you are a potential candidate to become the foreign agent. And when people got to know about that, they started gathering in front of Parliament, and there were peaceful protests, protesting that, first of all, Georgian Parliament should be more official with the hearings, especially passing this kind of laws. And if there was made the promise or at least declaration that the law will be discussed 2 days after they actually passed the law, that's actually lying to the people. But we are Georgian people. We are used to the lies of the government. Unfortunately, for already more than 10 years, the Georgian government is lying to the people. But people had enough. People were angry. People are still angry. And people will not stop. We saw a big, big masses of protests in Tbilisi yesterday and the day before yesterday as well. And the peaceful protests were not just left alone by the government. They decided to call upon the special forces. And unfortunately, the special forces used the violence against these peaceful protesters. A lot of people, more than 200 people by now, are arrested. They are probably going to the jail, or there will be fines. Right now, actually, while we are talking, there is going on the court processes in Georgia against these people. They don't know what's going to be with them. Are they going to the prison? Are they going just to pay the fine? And what happened really bad is that the forces that were used were illegitimate and they were excessive, because there was absolutely no need. People were just standing. They were demanding for the government to take over the law back, or to do something about the law, to change it, to have the second hearing, because this is not what Georgia was standing for so many years. We were going through many processes. We have had a lot of protests. We have had a lot of blood in streets of Tbilisi, and that was not for the fact that now European Union declared directly that if the Georgian government would pass the law, that would be a way very back towards the European Union. And then Georgian government accepted it. That means they don't want Georgia in the European Union. They don't see Georgia in Europe. They see Georgia in Russia as gubernia of Russia, as part of Russia, as oblast of Russia, something like that. which is pretty sad because... So
can you talk about the police reaction? What specifically has been happening?
So first of all, there have been used not only the water cans, but they have been used also the bullets against the citizens, not the real ones, but they were still... people took a lot of damages because of that. They also used a lot of gas bombs. And what also happened really bad yesterday was that they did not only stop at shooting these gas bombs on the people in the streets, they actually started bombing the subway, where there were people who were actually who had actually no connection to the protests at all. There was no train coming for 7 minutes. And they also, what they did is that people were not fighting with them in the beginning because they were just standing still. They arrested one of the political persons, which is the leader of one of the political parties called Girchi in Georgia, and they arrested this person after he made the speech about the police that is standing in the Tbilisi streets right now. There are also people, there are Georgians as well. We need to communicate with them. We need to talk with them because their families are waiting for them also at home. They are working right now and they're getting paid for doing this work right now. We need to talk with them and we need to explain to them that they have to stand on the right side of the history right now. And after that, he was just dragged by the special forces. He was beaten up and he is arrested. Now he has had the court, and actually the court is also going on right now as well, so we don't know what's gonna be with him. Also, one, we Georgians, we really love to have humor also in the dark times. Basically, they were dragging a lot of people like that, so basically it's not that there were some big clashes most of the times, but they were just jumping into the crowd, just taking somebody. Even the minors got beaten up, minors got arrested, minors got taken to the police offices, the small kids got injured by the bullets, by the gas bombs. And they were just jumping into the crowd, grabbing anyone, it didn't matter who, they were just grabbing somebody and taking back to the police bag to beat this person up and to take to the police. And also one really funny fact, what happened also, yes, it's not funny, the whole situation, but we Georgians mostly see also humor in the dark times. So in Georgian, the Georgians were screaming slave to the government, that they are slaves, and the word slave in Georgian is Mona. So whoever was screaming Mona, which means slave in Georgian, was immediately arrested by the police just for screaming slave without context, just screaming slave. So when they were screaming Mona and they saw that people are getting arrested, they found a good trick what to do. So instead of screaming Mona, they were screaming Mona Lisa. They still got arrested for calling Mona Lisa, nothing else. What really got me up to the tears yesterday was that not only for insulting or saying something about the government, but there were many Ukrainians yesterday on the process and the day before yesterday as well, because they have been going through this process also in 2014 when Ukraine had Maidan. And they were supporting us, and we were supporting also Ukraine yesterday and the day before yesterday, because Georgia is always Ukrainian people. We know that what is going on every day, even today, again, Russia bombed whole Ukraine again. And there were also some kind of talks about the Russia, that people, Georgian people are anti-Russia, and the police started taking off the banners that were anti-Russian. Mm. Nothing about the government. Anti-Putin, anti-Russian government, they started just taking off these posters because they got, as I understood already, some kind of directive from above that they, this kind of posters should be also taken down, which is pretty sad for me because Russia had very tense relations with Georgia. Mm-hmm. Russia has been in war with Georgia 2 times. Russia is now not giving us back our territories, and Russia is doing the same thing right now in Ukraine and in the other neighboring countries. And in this historical moment, Georgian government, not Georgia, because Georgia will always stand on the side, on the right side of the history. But the Georgian government is right now standing on the side of the traitors. And there will be passing many years, and in 100 years probably, as we are studying right now the history in the schools, there will be our kids, the kids of other Georgian people, and also the kids of other people just studying the history. And they will read about the Georgian people, they will read about the Georgian government.
So some of the proponents of this law, like you said, they styled it as an American law based on the American Foreign Agent Registration Act. Can you tell us what your take is on this?
Yes, so basically why the talk about the American law started is that Georgian government really likes to copy some statements from the Russian government recently. And when Putin made the law in Russia, also the foreign agent law, his declaration was that he only copies the law from America, as America is the most democratic state in the world, and they will also copy this law and accept it in their country. And Georgian government right now is also stating that this law has nothing to do with the Russian law, but is clearly American law. But Georgian people are educated, Georgian people are literate, we can read, we can analyze, and we can think. The American law, what we are talking about, is actually the law about the lobbyists. What that means, that, for example, if you are a politically active person in America, for example, I am part of Democratic Party in America right now, and at the same time, I'm the lobbyist. So, for example, let's imagine that the government of Georgia is paying me some kind of amount of money, giving me finances to promote some kind of Georgia-related statement into the party and to promote it in the Senate. Then I am the lobbyist, and then I get finances from the government of Georgia, and America basically states that they have this database to have the information about this kind of people, just to know that, yes, it's good that you are bringing some kind of statement, but we need to know where this statement is coming from and if it has been financed by somebody else.
But okay, the so law, it's like that, official lobbyists, sort of.
Yes,
thing.
Exactly. And in Georgia, what we are seeing right now is about NGOs, it's about media, it's about the lawyers, it's about, for some reason, psychologists, but I don't understand personally what connection psychologists to all the story have in this moment. It's about people who have been studying abroad, it's about the people who got any kind of finances abroad, who have been actively, politically active, or just active in Georgia, and they got any kind of even training, once in a lifetime training that was financed by the European Union. So that has nothing in common with the American law.
Okay. Can you talk about the makeup of this government and the popular support for this government and the laws that they bring?
Yes. So basically, today actually a pretty interesting thing happened before I was coming here. That's really interesting because we have seen a lot of protests within these years while we have this government. And we clearly observe all these years that more years pass, we see more clearer connection of the Georgian government to the Russian government. And we see the clear connections, we see the clear ideas that are taken from the Russian government, and it's clear directives as well, I would say. And most of the times what happens in Georgia is that when people are protesting something, the Georgian government offers some kind of compromise, which is never actually in reality happening later.
Okay.
And the same thing was proposed by the Georgian government right now, and that is actually a pretty interesting thing. I will go into details what happened. So Georgian government, more specifically the Georgian Dream, which is the governmental party right now in Georgia and majority of the parliament in Georgia, they declared the statement, and the first part of the statement states that Georgian Dream decided that without compromise, just to take down or call back the law that has been accepted 2 days ago, and to cancel it. And the second part of this statement states that Georgian Dream will have open communication and open table with the people to convince them that there is utmost importance to actually accept this law, actually both of the laws, and to implement them in Georgia. So there are many questions about this statement. First of all, there are controversial already part in one statement already, which was pretty short, but it confused a lot of people. So first of all, if you're calling back the law, then why there is a need of open communication with people to convince them that you want to accept this law? If you want to cancel the law, then there will be no communication about this law at all. Then second thing, which is actually the reglement of the parliament that we have, so the how the parliament regulates itself. And again, Georgians can read and we know how to read the law. Unfortunately, as we are living in this kind of conditions with the Georgian government, many of us, I am a lawyer by myself, but many Georgians who are not lawyers, they're still very much understanding the law, because with this kind of regime, you need to know your rights, you need to know your law. And what the law of the parliament says that as this law was accepted with the first hearing, so usually there are up to three hearings, and the law was accepted with the first hearing, so immediately. And if you want to call back the law, you have to do it before you have the first hearing. And as there has been already the first hearing and the law is already accepted, it is in theory, in practice, physically impossible to call back the law. Then we have the question, why are you making such kind of promise if it is in theory, in practice, and physically just impossible to call back the law, right? And then second question comes around the sentence, we will call back the law. So first of all, for example, we trust them, it's possible physically to call back the law, right? Let's go to this sentence, we will probably in the future, let's put it there, call back the law. So we know Georgian Dream, we know their promises. We had a recent example when they said that they will have the first hearing today, actually, and they had it 2 days ago. We are used to the lies. So now we have two options and two ways how this situation will evolve. Also considering the Georgian law and the reglement of the parliament. So in the best case, let's call it the best case, as it is impossible to cancel the law or call back the law, there has to be the second hearing. And the second hearing takes time, which is more than at least 10 days. So it will take time. For example, these 10 days pass and they immediately make the second hearing, then majority has to condemn the law. So there has to be vote no.
Okay.
For this project.
Mm-hmm.
Already the law, actually, because it's already the law. And will that happen? We don't know. Because it's not certain with the Georgian Dream. Because they just make the promises they never upheld.
Well, if you don't mind me stepping in there. Can you talk about how, like, the popularity of Georgian Dream? I mean, there are elections in Georgia. What is their popular support?
So in the beginning, when they were starting in 2000 poll, because people were fed up with Saakashvili regime, and also a very big influence had actually the statements and the reports from the prison that we had, many people were for the change of government, and at the moment the only available option was the Georgian Dream.
Okay.
So majority of people were in favor of the Georgian Dream. But since the Georgian Dream started functioning, they started losing a lot of followers. And now the question comes, how did it happen that Georgian Dream is still in the government? It's because we have this fight every election with the Georgian Dream, and there have been a lot of reports by the Georgian NGOs as well, foreigner NGOs as well, that Georgian elections are always influenced, there are always incidents, and we are lacking trust in the Georgian elections.
Mm-hmm.
We saw a lot of people yesterday, in the streets of Tbilisi. And I don't know what is the exact number of the supporters of the Georgian Dream, but I saw the people who who are not supporting Georgian Dream yesterday. And I'm sure there is a majority of people. There are people not only in the streets of Tbilisi, people around the world, not only Georgians, but even our international friends were outside. We had a protest yesterday in Tallinn. Mm-hmm. There have been protests all around the world. I have been watching actually today that all around the world, in every country, Georgians were organizing and their international friends were also attending the protests. So we see a big amount of people who are not in favor of Georgian Dream and who are trying to change the government already, because we see that there is only dead end in the future and Russian Dream probably. That's all.
Can you talk about Georgia's relationship with the West?
Yes. So we have been trying since 2003 to become close to the European Union, because our statement as it was in 2003 is that I'm a Georgian, therefore I'm a European. Okay. And we are trying to uphold that until now. And since 2003, as soon as we had the revolution, the Rose Revolution in Georgia, we are trying to pursue on that way. We are trying to follow all the directions of the European Union, and also we're trying to become the part of the NATO, because that is one of the main strategies and the goals of our country right now, and this is the way that Georgian people see following. And we have been going through many resolutions, we have been going through many changes in our systems, we are trying to keep up with all these directions from the European Union, because that is our goal, and this is how we see the perfect image of our country, because this is how we see our future. After 20 years, after 30 years, we want our kids to be proud of ourselves, because we did our best to be where we probably should be in 20 years or the 30 years. But unfortunately, since we had the change of the regime, all this work that Georgia has been doing all these years after the 2003, the Georgian dream is just deleting step by step. And now we are standing at the dead end, because a few days ago, America, European Union, many leaders of the West made the statements that Georgia is standing right now at very, very dangerous border. And it's very, very close to be very back on the way. And it's very, very close to lose all the progress we were going through all these many years. 20 years we are trying to follow this way, and now the government that is not listening to the people, that is not respecting all this 20 years work that we have been going through, is just trying to put us back in 2003 before the revolution, and try to put us back to the USSR. And we will never be part of the Soviet regime. We will never be part of Russia, because Georgians are a free nation. Georgia is a free country, and Georgia will never, ever become part of any other totalitarian government or totalitarian country.
Okay, well, we'll just wrap up with, I know it's difficult to predict, but what do you think are the next steps? What happens now?
So let's start what will be the next step from the Georgian dream. What is my prediction, and not only my prediction, but many experts are actually stating that after the declaration Georgian dream made today. So basically they are thinking that Georgian dream will just ignore the law, because it will take a lot of time to make the second hearing, and they will wait for they're expecting Georgian people to stop the protests and to stop coming out in the street. They will put this law on the shelf, and they will just wait until the perfect moment to put it back and to enforce it. But what they didn't count on is that Georgian people are educated, and we can read, we can think. Georgians will have the protest today as well in the streets. Georgians will have the protest tomorrow as well. And these promises that the Georgian dream is making to us, they do not carry any value anymore.
Okay.
Unless there is something actually done.
When's the next election in Georgia?
In 2024.
Okay. If people want to help, what can they do, Anna?
So if they want to help, they just have to support us. If you are in Georgia and you're listening to this podcast, please go outside, even one person. If you're plus one person in the street, it is already a lot for Georgia, because more we are, then it's easier for us to stand. It's easier for us to win this war that we have right now, not only with the Georgian government, but it's a direct war with the Russian government as well, because the directives come from there. If you are in Tallinn, for example, we will have also the protest on Saturday at 7 p.m. on Vabaduse Valjak, and we will be protesting this regime, and we will be standing there to support people who are fighting, literally fighting until blood, with the government of Georgia right now.
Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for inviting.
Okay, thank you for listening. As always, we've been brought to you by the Baltic Film, Media, and Arts School and the School of Governance, Law, and Society here at Tallinn University. For more information about our programs, you can check it out at www.tlu.ee. This season, we'd like to celebrate working with Estonian World Magazine, who share our passion for English language stories about Estonia's role in the world. You can check them out on Facebook or at estonianworld.com. Our producer and our dear friend is Alvo Ulvik. Further research and development has been done by Jana Levitinia, Mal Keshmiri, Peter Nikonin, Cynthia Enemosha, Chongbin Lee, Nur Iliana, Eva Diachuk, Tang Ding Kang, and Katrin Helen Kasavandik. Our theme song is Ghost of 68, performed by myself and Paul Simmons, and all other music is composed and performed by me. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram at TLU Podcast, and on Twitter at Tallinn Podcast. So thank you for joining us. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next episode.